This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiran kathira. From above, my brothers and sisters, this is the fourth lecture in the series of lectures on the fundamentals of Islam, on which we need to focus, which we need to study in order to be able to practice our religion correctly and be eligible for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reward from Him when we meet Him, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, the default setting for the Muslim is that he or she is a wali of Allah. Is a wali of Allah, is a favorite slave of Allah, who is entitled to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his reward. This is not my imagination, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that clearly in his kitab, in his book, in the Quran, and said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means there will, in Surah Yunus, Allah said there will certainly be no fear for the awliya of Allah, the slaves of Allah, slaves of Allah who Allah loves, nor will they grieve. No fear and no sadness for them. They are those, now Allah is describing, who are the awliya of Allah? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They are those who have iman and who have taqwa. Those who are faithful to Allah and who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have iman and taqwa. For them, the good news is, there is good news for them in this worldly life and in the hereafter. There is no change in the promise of Allah. This is the promise of Allah, that the awliya will have bashara, will have the glad tidings of good news for them in this world and in the next. And Allah is saying there is no change in the promise of Allah. This is the promise of Allah. This is true. That truly is ultimate triumph, is the final success, al-fawzul azim. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy did not specify the level of iman or taqwa. Subhanallah, think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that your iman and taqwa must be equal to this one or that one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks, I'm not even going all the way to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa, which really is the standard, but even to any of the sahaba or to the great people from the tabi'in and so on, what would we do? I mean, I'm looking at myself, what would we do? But Allah did not do that. Allah just said iman and taqwa. How much? Only Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then went even further and mentioned His special favor on us. Allah said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila nur. Allah said, Allah is the wali, is the guardian of the believers, and He brings them out of darkness into light, out of ignorance into the area of knowledge, out of ghafla, out of heedlessness into the zikr of Allah and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About our last moments, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this for us, which we must always think about, last moments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described a situation that seriously I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, for all of us, where we will be given the good news of Jannah before we leave this life, inshallah. And He said, Jalla Jalaluhu, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely those who say, our Rabb is Allah, and then remain steadfast on that. That is the key. The key is, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Say our Rabb is Allah, believe in Allah, and stay firm on that. Meaning what? Meaning obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we say He is our Rabb, therefore we obey Him. We don't go anywhere else, we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely those who say our Rabb is Allah, and then remain steadfast, the angels descend upon them, saying, do not fear, do not grieve, rather rejoice in the good news of Jannah, which you have been promised. We are your supporters, we are your awliya in this worldly life and in the hereafter. There, in the hereafter, you will have whatever your souls desire, whatever you wish will be given to you, and there you will have whatever you ask for. So you will be given what you even think about, what you even wish, without even asking, and you will be given something which you ask for, a welcome from the all-forgiving, most merciful Rabb, Nuzulam min Ghafurir Rahim. As I've said many times before, there are only two things. There are only two things that are critical needs for the human being. Daruriyat. Hidayah, right guidance in this life, and Maghfirah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness after death. Nothing else is daruri. Nothing else is critical. It's nice to have, not critical. I remember and remind you that these last moments on earth are the time when everyone without exception is afraid. Everyone is fearful about a world that we have not seen, in which we will not have any power to change our situation. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His malaika, He'll send His angels to comfort us and for them to promise to be with us in the journey, and they will convey to us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise of forgiveness. Nuzul is a welcome gesture, like a drink of cold water or something, or juice for a thirsty traveler, which is a precursor and promise of what is to follow. So the traveler has been expected, the people have been waiting for him, and when he comes, they're so happy, they give him this so that to take away his tiredness from the journey. And then, of course, there's plenty more from where that one came from. Now, in this case, this nuzul, this welcome, is the announcement of Jannah for the wali of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, even before his soul leaves the body. So, inshallah, all Muslims are the awliya of Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you and me in that. As long as we do not commit shirk or kufr, and we try our best to fulfill our duties, we can hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and Jannah. Now, what sense does it make to ruin this by taking interest-based loans and thereby removing ourselves from the list of the awliya of Allah and entering our names in the list of the enemies of Allah? Think about that. And if you think enemy is a strong word, simply ask yourself, what do you call somebody that you are fighting with? What do you call somebody who you are at war with? The two opponents on either side in a battlefield, are they friends of each other or are they enemies? Just ask yourself this question. Especially because whatever we take the loan for, whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whatever, will remain here when we die. While our action of challenging Allah and accepting the declaration of war from Him will go with us into the Akhirah. That is how evil interest is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned our risk in our sustenance in very clear terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu yabsutur rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lah. Inna Allaha bi kulli shay'in alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlarges the provision for whomever He wills of His slaves and straightens it and tightens it for whomever He wills. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knower of everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna rabbaka yabusutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdiru innahu kana bi'ibadihi khabiran basira. Allah said, truly, your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu enlarges the provision for whomever He wills, and straightens it and tightens it and restricts it for whomever He wills. And verily, He is ever all-knower and all-seer of His slaves. He sees them and He knows everything about them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Do they not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlarges the provision for whom He wills, and straightens it and tightens it and restricts it for whomever He wills? Verily, in that are indeed signs for people who believe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily my Rabb enlarges and restricts the provision to whom He pleases, but most people do not know. And there are many other ayat of the exactly of a similar nature which talk about this. The question I ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourself, is, if our rizq is fixed, and this is a fact and this is our belief, that our rizq is fixed. If our rizq is fixed and the only choice we have is about the way we obtain it, then what sense does it make to take it from a place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited? Whatever we possess in this life, whether it is halal or haram, will remain here. Only what we send ahead, that is our deeds, will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, whatever you have will end, will finish, will perish. But whatever Allah has, whatever is with Allah, is everlasting, will remain. And we will certainly reward the steadfast, may Allah make us among them, according to the best of their deeds. Best of their deeds. And for those who are still not sure and are doubtful, think about this. What sense does it make to take our rizq from a source which is at best doubtful? Ask, what if I take an interest-based loan and die the next day? I know people to whom this happened. What if it happens to me, to us, to you or me? The fact of the matter is that what is ours, nobody can take from us. And what is not ours, nobody can give it to us. Right? What is not ours, nobody can give us. And what is ours, nobody can take from us. We cannot get more or less. All we can do is to decide the source we want to take it from. The biggest evidence and proof of that is that we will be questioned about the source and not about the quantity. So why ruin our akhirah and be counted among the enemies of Allah for something which, even if we get it, we will have to leave it behind? So something, even if we get it, we'll have to leave it behind. Just look at all the palaces and mansions and forts and tombs in the world. People have even forgotten the names of those who built them. But those who built them are being questioned about them. Why do we think that it will be any different for us? Let us build palaces in Jannah, which will be ours forever and no questions. To those who say that Rasulullah ﷺ did not explain riba enough or properly, and they quote Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, his statement inappropriately, the simple answer is that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made a general statement that he would have liked to have some more details. He was not saying that Rasulullah ﷺ did not do his job of conveying the message. We must be very careful about our language when speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah ﷺ and the Quran, because, as I said, the wrong words can get us into serious trouble, serious problems. One of the most important fundamentals of our aqidah, of our creed, is to believe that Rasulullah ﷺ did his job of conveying the message of Islam completely and faultlessly. It was his job to teach Islam in every intricate detail that was necessary for us to learn to practice our deen completely. And he did that. There were munafiqun who criticized the detail with which Rasulullah taught the method of istinja, which is cleaning yourself after urinating, and istijmar, which is cleaning after defecating. And Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu replied to that. There are many other examples of the detailed way in which Rasulullah taught Islam and conveyed this message. How then could he have not done so with respect to riba, interest, against which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war? If he did that with things which are of lesser importance, how could he have left this out? Therefore, we need to ask two questions. Did Rasulullah ﷺ convey the message complete in all respects? If a Muslim says that Rasulullah ﷺ did not convey the complete message but left some details out, then he or she has left Islam. His marriage is invalid. If he dies in that state, it is not permitted for the Muslims to pray Salatul Janaza on that person and to bury them in a Muslim cemetery. That person, he or she, their wealth cannot be inherited by their children or whoever is would otherwise have inherited that wealth from them because they have left Islam. If they come back into Islam, they have to accept Islam again and they will have to renew their nikah because their nikah has become invalid. It is a very serious matter. Please understand this. Just don't just talk, you know, like my Guyanese friend used to say, he talk gati kaziga mouth. No, don't talk because you have a mouth. Talk with some sense, understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly said, Ya ayyuha rasulu balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalah wallahu ya'simuka minan nas inna allaha la yahdi alqawm alkafirin. Allah said, O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, convey everything revealed to you from your Rabb. If you do not do that, then you have not delivered his message. Allah will certainly protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide people who disbelieve. So if anyone says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not convey the message completely, that person has left Islam and become a murtad. On the other hand, if we believe that Rasulullah ﷺ conveyed the message completely, then let us follow him completely. Then what's the problem? The second thing to ask those who argue about different branches of riba and say that some are prohibited and others are not is, where is the proof? What is the evidence? Give us the evidence that some parts of riba are permitted and some parts of riba are prohibited. Where is the evidence? Now, if we believe that Rasulullah ﷺ fulfilled his responsibility of conveying the message completely and he prohibited riba without mentioning any categories, it means that he prohibited all categories. If some categories were not prohibited, it was his responsibility to clearly state that. If he did not do that, it can only mean that it includes all categories. The alternate explanation that he left out some detail is to deny the ayat of the Quran and takes us out of Islam. So please understand, this is not simply a matter of saying, in my opinion, in your opinion. Our opinions have no value, zero value in deen. The only opinion that matters is the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To understand this further with an example, we know that alcohol is prohibited in Islam. If someone argues that fentanyl and heroin and cocaine and marijuana are not alcohol, so they are not banned, what will you say? That is the reason it is necessary to study Islam systematically, like we study every other body of knowledge. You don't take the knowledge of medicine or engineering or anything else by watching YouTube videos or TikToks. You go to a school, you study under a teacher, you pass exams. You practice, somebody is watching you, you do all of this. But with Islam, we think that watching a video or reading a book or, you know, watching TikTok is enough. It is not enough. Think about it. The ruling is, about this issue of prohibitions and what is haram. The ruling in this case of alcohol is that by alcohol is meant alcohol itself in any form, as well as everything which produces the effect of alcohol, which is to intoxicate and interfere with our cognitive ability. And so every kind of intoxicant is prohibited, and it is not necessary for each of them to be named separately. Likewise, all forms of gambling, extramarital and premarital sex, all lying and cheating and so on are prohibited. In Islam, when something is prohibited, the prohibition extends to all its forms, in all quantities, right? In all quantities, and all the ways that lead to it or have anything to do with it are all prohibited. So in Islam, when something is prohibited, the prohibition extends to all its forms, in all quantities, in all ways that lead to it or have anything to do with it. Now, Islam shuts all doors leading to prohibited things and everything related to them. The same principle applies to riba. Safety lies in leaving whatever is prohibited, because in the end, no matter what it is, the material thing will remain here, but our actions and the reason we took that action will go with us, and we will pay the price for it. I hope this is clear. We don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him as His enemies, but as His obedient slaves. My brothers and sisters, in conclusion, let me say a few things as simply as possible. First and foremost, the question of, we are looking now, let me look at housing mortgages. The kind of arguments that people give. One argument is, why should I pay rent all my life? Why don't I get a mortgage and I will pay for the house, and instead of rent, the house will belong to me. And then it will be also an investment, and I will leave something for my kids. Think about it. For example, if you take a mortgage for, say, $600,000, $500,000, look at the total payment that you will be making for it. Because that total payment is the actual price of that house today, which you are agreeing to pay. So the house, if you look at it, total payment easily is 2x or 3x. So you're going to be paying, if you take a mortgage for $500,000, the total payment will be 1 million or maybe 1.2 or $1.3 million. So actually, you're not buying the house for $500,000, you're buying the house for $1.2 million or $1.3 million. Today, which you will pay over the next 30 years. Number one, does that make financial sense? Number two, may Allah give you a long and healthy life, but you take this mortgage and then you pay, say, $100,000 and then you die. Now what happens? You know what happens, I know what happens. The bank will take away the house and your payments, which you already made, and the kids get nothing, right? Now, does that make any sense at all? And in the process, what have you done? You have been prepared and you have agreed to go to war with Allah. Now, think of the alternative. Think about purely from the perspective of leaving an investment for your kids. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu told us in Surah Al-Kahf, which we read every Friday, and most of you would have read, and those of you who haven't read, please go read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the story of Musa and Khidr alayhi musalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ammal jidaru فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا. Khidr alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salam, as for the wall, and we know the story, there was a wall in this village which was in a bad condition. It was about to fall down, and Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, they repaired the wall, they made it strong again. And Musa alayhi salam said, you should have asked the village people to recompense and reimburse us for this and pay us for this, because these people haven't even, they are very inhospitable, they didn't even allow us to stay here. So, and why should we do this work for them for free? And that was the point at which Khidr alayhi salam said, you and I part company. And then he is explaining to Musa alayhi salam all that he did. And in that process, when he comes to the wall, this is what he says. And he says, as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city. And under the wall is a treasure that belongs to them. And their father had been a righteous man. So the boys are orphans, father has passed away. So your Rabb willed that these children should come of age and retrieve their treasure as a mercy from your Rabb. I did not do all of this on my own. I have been commanded to do this. This is the explanation of what you could not bear patiently. Now think about this. Here is a man who died. He buried a treasure under this wall, or he buried the treasure and built a wall on top of that. Now, and obviously this happened years ago. The wall is falling down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends two of his anbiya. He sends two nabis. He sends Khidr alayhi salam and he sends Musa alayhi salam, somebody of the level of ulul azam min al anbiya. Is one of them is min al rusul, is one of them Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam to repair the wall, to take care of the wealth that the father left for the children, right? The greatest wealth that you can leave for your children is your dua. Not dying in a state where you are at war with Allah. May Allah have mercy on us. We take these decisions and then we wonder when we get sick and we have accidents and this happens and that happens and what not happens. And then we say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. How is Allah going to help you? Allah will help you. How will Allah help me if I am at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please understand, if I take an interest-based loan, then I am saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by my action, I am saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I have decided that you can't take care of me. I have to take care of myself. And in that process, if I have to go to war with you, so be it. This is what we are saying. By our actions, this is what we are saying, my submission to you, my brothers and sisters. Is this what you want to say to Allah? Is this how you want to die as an enemy of Allah? So two questions to ask yourself. Anytime the issue of interest-based loans comes, two questions. First question, and this question really should be asked for every action of ours, which is, will my action please Allah? But especially in this case. Connected question. Whatever I am going to get out of get this loan, whether it's my house, whether it's a car, whether it's a business or whatnot, I have taken an interest-based loan and I am going to get something because of that. So, I get the interest-based loan. I've got this beautiful house now, which I bought using a mortgage. Will this go with me when I die? I know it's a stupid question, but we need to ask ourselves this question, because it seems somehow that our yaqeen and our reliance on the akhirah has disappeared. Because how can anyone who has this faith and this iman that he will die or she will die and that they will stand before Allah and they will be questioned by Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who deals in interest, and Allah declared war on his behalf and on behalf of the Rasul alayhi salam sallallahu alayhi salam. You have all of this faith, how can you still take a loan? So ask yourself this question. When I die, will this thing go with me? Right? As I said, dumb question. Of course, it will not go with you. But what will go with me? My decision to take this interest-based loan, knowing it is haram, knowing Allah declared war, accepting the declaration of war from Allah, will go with me. Is this what we want?
Second question to ask yourself is this, right? Those of you who are who like to talk about all these intricate details of this kind of interest, that kind of interest, and so on, so on. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned interest, riba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam banned interest. As I mentioned before, when there is a ban without a qualifier, it means that everything under those, under that umbrella term, all the qualifiers are included. Because if a particular qualifier was not to be included, it would have been specifically mentioned. Allah is banning only this and not that. But when that specific mention is not there, it means that everything under that umbrella is banned. Right? This we know for sure. We know for sure from the Quran. We know for sure from the Ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, from the Sunnah. We know for sure from the Ijma' of the Ummah, which is 1400 years of scholarship from the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, all the classical scholars, all the four Imams of the Sharia in Sunni Islam are all agreed upon that riba is haram. We know this for sure. The other question, which is this part, that part, so on, at best is doubtful. Now, what do we know about something which is certain and something which is doubtful? We know the hadith of Hasan ibn Ali, radiallahu anhuma, the grandson of Rasulullah, who said that I heard from the Rasul, from my grandfather, who said, leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Leave the doubtful for the certain. Now, we have the hukum of the Rasul alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the hukum of Allah. You want to ignore all of that and you want to follow the advice of whoever is giving you this advice. May Allah have mercy on you. I cannot say anything more. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.